Well, it's great to be out tonight and to see all our friends here again. We might turn, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 18. The book of Acts, chapter 18. We begin reading at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, as he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Let's just turn over the word Achaia. You might have noticed that in verse 27, included Corinth. Let's see what was going on in Corinth in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. In verse 4, we read, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together with God." And just across the way, and my next page, but the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 21, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let no man, therefore, glory in man." Let's just look to the Lord once again. Our Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would teach us things out of thy word, that it may be an encouragement to the saints of God. We just pray, Lord, that you would build us up in our faith and stir us up, Father, by thy word, and that you would provide comfort for us even as we consider what you have to teach us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to look at a little biography tonight of Apollos in the New Testament. Apollos was a preacher of the Word of God. The Bible says he was a Jew. He was born at Alexandria, which is at the end of the Nile River, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. I was thinking what a wonderful man this Apollos was. The Bible really teaches that, of course, we receive reward according to our labor, and we work according to the measure of gift that's given to us, the measure of faith that we have to carry out our gifts, and we find Apollos, this man. It says here he was an eloquent man. He was an orator. He was a persuasive preacher, is what he was. He was able to speak to men's hearts on the behalf of God. He was a communicator. He was able to take difficult things in the Word of God and kind of cut them up into small pieces for the people of God. And he was eloquent. You know, there's nothing wrong with being eloquent. The fact is, thank the Lord for those that are eloquent. Thank the Lord for those that can speak. And the listening to them is not necessarily a chore. So he was an eloquent man. And more than that, it's one thing to be eloquent, but he was mighty in the scriptures. Now, he was a Jew, and his scriptures would be the Old Testament, I suppose, from Genesis to Malachi. That is what he had, and he knew them inside out. He was mighty in the scriptures. If you spoke of the Old Testament and you mentioned a verse, although they didn't have verses so numbered in those days, but he would know the verse. He would know where it was found, who the prophet was, who he was speaking to. He was mighty in the scriptures. He knew what he was talking about when he took the word of God. And that is quite an amazing thing. It's interesting, I believe, that he was a believer in Christ. And I believe that as he heard more and more concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he opened his heart more and more to him. He was, I suppose you would say, an Old Testament believer who became a New Testament believer. That he believed in the Messiah, and then he found out that, as it says here, that Jesus was the Christ. He came to know that for himself. He was a man mighty in the scripture. The Bible says that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. And I suppose, usually in the New Testament, the word Lord is not a, you might say, a generic name for God, which is maybe a difficulty at best to use those words. But I believe he's speaking of the Lord Christ. He was one that was instructed in what the Messiah would do. I believe he was instructed that Messiah would suffer. I believe that he was instructed that the Messiah would enter his glory. He was eloquent and he knew all the messianic passages of the Word of God. An interesting man. He was eloquent. He was mighty in the scripture. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. You know, we need to be instructed constantly in the things of God. I often think that most likely he was brought up in the synagogue and he would be taught in his home and he would be taught at the synagogue the things of God. The scriptures would be read. There would be teachers, rabbis, who would teach the word of God. And probably as a little child he had learned the scriptures. He was instructed. You know, it came to his good stead later on in his life to be an instructed person. Very often, we do not realize how much we glean from Sunday school, from our work with the young, from the value of work, even if someone is not immediately saved and makes a profession at a young age. This is a great privilege that we have to work with the young and to instruct them. And this man was instructed in the way. He was taught. He was educated. He was trained. You know, I believe the parents in the home, Sunday school teachers, those who work with Awana and young people's, if we would just realize how valuable this is, this type of work, not to mention being brought up under the word of God as young people in the meetings of God's assembly. This is very important. They become instructed. In the New Testament, why there were, I believe, rabbinical schools, there were not, so to speak, Bible schools. The work was done in the local church. There was something expected. This was expected to take place. And so it did, and so it does. I remember my wife mentioning to me years ago, she said the things that she learned about the New Testament church were learned at the Bible study here at the assembly. And as a young teenager and as a young person, she came here regularly, whether her parents were out or not, and she was taught and instructed. She could mention the names of those that had been teaching in those far-off days. But this man was instructed in the way. It's a valuable work. It's a wonderful work. And Apollos was the fruit of that work. The Bible says also in verse 25, he was fervent in the Spirit. Now, you know, very often you can have someone and you, the first time you hear his voice, say, what a voice. But then when he speaks, the Bible says a fool, if he keeps his mouth shut, well, you kind of figure he knows something, but once he opens his mouth, it's out. But this man, he wasn't only an eloquent man. He not only was a polished man, but he was also mighty in the word of God. And he was fervent in the Spirit. When he spoke, was it just, well, what am I going to speak on? Do I have anything to say that's worth listening to? He was a man that was fervent. He wanted to change people's minds. He wanted to change people's lives. He was fervent in the Spirit. I believe that this was his spirit, perhaps a regenerated spirit, but nonetheless, this was in himself. He was a man who wanted to know truth, and then he wanted to share the truth that he knew. And the Bible says he had a passion. That's what the word fervent means. He was passionate about the word of God, and he went after, and so to speak, the people of God, we sang of the love of God. I believe all of that is important. But he was a fervent man. He was a fervent man. He was zealous. He had an intensity. This person's demanding my attention. And so we find he was mighty in the scriptures. He was instructed and taught, and he was fervent in his spirit. The Bible said he spoke, in verse 25, he spoke and taught diligently. There was an interest in it. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, I want a message, and yet we don't put too much industry into the Word of God. But not Apollos. He was a man who was into the Word of God all the time. Someone asked a preacher once, he said, well, how much time did you spend on that particular sermon? Well, he said, thoughts along that line, I figure I've been thinking about for about 11 years. There was industry continuously into the Holy Scriptures. And when he spoke and he taught diligently, with zeal and intensity. He himself was willing to be taught and trained. And he was mighty, for to know your subject inside out, let alone the spiritual part of it, which is everything, but still, the power and strength and force that comes from knowing your subject. It is wonderful. It is something that we need to do. We realize that he didn't know everything. The scripture says he taught, knowing only the baptism, the teachings of John the Baptist. You know, the Bible teaches that John the Baptist knew very well that he was the forerunner of Christ. And I use the word Christ because I don't believe John the Baptist knew then. He said, I was told who it would be, that Christ would be, because the Holy Spirit would light upon him. He said, I witness unto you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He knew then that Jesus was the Christ. But here John, here we have the Apollos. I do not believe he knew that Jesus was the Christ at this time. But he had the teachings about the Christ, that there would be one who would come that would redeem Israel. And he taught what he knew. You know, I believe that the more and longer I live, for one, I would like to think that I try to preach within my kin. In other words, if I don't know anything about a subject, why try to teach what you don't know? He was a man who knew thus. He studied in the Word of God all the time, and there were things that he needed to know. I believe that it is always good for us. Sometimes it's painful for those who might sit, and there's a new preacher, somebody who hasn't touched the Word before, and we become very aware of those things that they don't know yet. And yet we find this man studying the Word of God, came to a certain body of truth, scriptural truth, and he preached it with all his heart. I believe that is a good idea. In verse 26, we read that he spoke boldly. He spoke with authority. He had courage. He had courage when it came to preaching the Word of God. He was daring and brave. Sometimes you need to be that way. Sometimes, especially in a situation where you know so many, it's probably good to go through the Scripture consecutively, because then you know that you're going to have to deal with a certain subject, and you know that, that fellow believes that, and that person is doing that, and this and that. You know too much. And yet we need to be bold and have some courage to preach the Word of God. Apollos was a man of courage. He was a man of courage. If we're going to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, there needs to be courage. By the way, there also, we need zeal. And we need boldness, we also need a bit of wisdom as well. One thing that we find about him is that he was a teachable man. When he was speaking boldly in the synagogue, Aquila and Priscilla heard him preaching, so they took him unto them. In other words, they invited him home, so to speak, for dinner. And he expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They heard that there were some things missing or some other information that had come up, in particular, huge body of truth, in that the Lord Jesus Christ had walked upon the earth, had suffered and bled and died at Calvary's cross, had rose again, had ascended into heaven, and that they were expecting him soon return, that the Messiah, which every Jew knew about, that the Christ that every Jew knew about, had already come. What a wonderful body of truth They expounded unto him the way of God. They expounded unto him the way of salvation. They expounded unto him the great doctrines of grace and substitution. He died for me, and so on. And the Bible does not say that he rejected this teaching. The fact is, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he was a man that the Lord used to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man, minister by whom you believed. Now it's the Lord Jesus that saves, not Apollos, not Paul, not Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ alone could save. And salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ alone, but that would be what he'd be teaching. It's an interesting verse. I was noticing it in my in the margin of my Newberry Bible. And it's in the book of Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9. It says there, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." A wise man will always know that he doesn't know it all. Sometimes a man who's not so wise figures he's arrived. A wise man can be yet wiser. And a just man, you teach him, and he will increase in learning. You know, one of an old brother, he's since gone to be with the Lord. But something I was amazed about is that he was willing to look at the scriptures, a man in his late 70s. Usually by the time you're in your late 70s, your teachableness is difficult not to receive. And what I found amazing about this man is that he was, in the best possible sense of the word, he was fresh. He was a man who could take the scriptures, who still studied the scriptures. He was a wise man, and he was a just man. If you could show something to him in the Word of God, and by the way, you could show something to him in the Word of God. I've had people who show someone something in the Word of God, and they say, I don't see that in the Word of God. Do you believe in English grammar? It's right there. But he was a just man, and he could take in truth. Well, how wonderful to be teachable. And by the way, when you're teachable, then everything kind of comes together. I'm not somebody who in one sense is very big on systematic theology. I believe that there are many things in the Scripture that are very hard to reconcile with one another. Not that God's Word contradicts itself, but that we need to leave space in our minds as we gain knowledge of the Word of God, to leave space to learn, not to necessarily jump to conclusions and make a nice little tight package that you have had to twist several verses in order to make. Well, in order for my little theory to work, this verse has got to mean that. It can't mean what it says. And I believe that we need to be careful of that. I believe we ought to always be listening to the Word of God that we might be taught. There may be things, lots of blanks to fill in. Being as someone who has lots of blanks up here, I've got lots of blanks to fill in yet. He was disposed to go to Achaia. You might notice in the first part here that he spent some time in Ephesus, and it was here that he learned so much from these believers. And then he wanted to go to Achaia, and of course Corinth is one of the cities of Achaia, so that's where he ended up. And he was disposed to pass into Achaia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Now, as far as I could see, to give somebody a letter, here's a preacher, he's going to a new area where he's unknown, and the brethren gave him a letter, exhorting the disciples there to receive him, saying, we know this man, we know about him, we know the way he handles the scriptures, we know the things he thinks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a man who is teachable. If you're a little teachable, chances are that you won't tend to be a little less divisive. So some people would almost die for their little box of beliefs. But anyway, we should too for our big box with the blanks in it. But anyway, we find here that they exhorted the disciples, that is the learners there, to receive him. He would be a help to you. It's interesting that Paul, writing, he said, I wanted Apollos to do this and that, but it was not his will to do it at this time. In other words, there was an association between the believers and the various churches. They did have letters of commendation between church and church, and so on, these little assemblies in the first century. But they, on the other hand, there was an independence. There was an independence. Well, when he went there, they received the blessings of what he had picked up where he was before. For it says, whom when he was come, Apollos came to this new city. He helped them much. He helped them much. To be a help. Lord, help us to be a help. To be those who would relieve the saints. Sometimes the saints have questions and issues and so on. He was able to help to relieve the saints. He was able to exhort the saints. He was able to aid and assist the saints. The old King James word to succor the saints, which doesn't mean yonder comes a succor and he's, I'm going to get his money. That isn't the idea of the word succor here. It's to help. To be an aid. And he was a blessing to those and a helper to those who believed. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 of those that have preached to the comforting of the word of God and exhortation and edification to bind up the believers, to stir them up and to build them up. This was something that he was able to do, was to be a help. I notice it's wonderful. It says here, he helped them much that had believed through grace. He wouldn't have been too much of a help if they were legalists. Those that, instead of trusting in Christ alone for salvation, might believe other things that might have to be done before someone was saved. But he was a big help to those who believed through grace. And those who believed by grace, they found, my God, it's wonderful. That is meat for my soul. Not too much of a help for the legalist. The legalist gets the odd slap in the face from Apollos. For Apollos could cut straight grace and works. And the Bible, by the way, teaches works. after you're saved and service to the Lord. And then, but a libertine then is the opposite. He was no friend of the libertine. If he opened a passage of Scripture, he wasn't looking for 25 ways to show that it wasn't for today. He was there, the Word of God at its authority. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He was a servant of God. And so he was no friend of the libertines, and he was no friend of the legalists. He was a friend of God, and he was a friend of the people that were saved by grace. We ought to be sure that we're going to be a help, and that's one way that we can be a help. The Bible says he mightily convinced the Jews. He was persuasive. In those days, the believers still had attachment to the synagogue, especially the Jewish believers. But he came in contact with the Jews, he himself being a Jew, being mighty in the Scriptures. And he was very persuasive. He mightily persuaded the Jews. And we find out in 1 Corinthians that he was a man through whom men believed, a minister through whom ye believed. He was persuasive. And the Bible says in verse 28, he said, and that publicly. You know, a private belief is one thing. Even, and by the way, in a meeting such as this, we, in a sense, is private in the fact that there are walls here. And it's wonderful to invite people out, and I'd encourage everyone to do that, and for us to have the gospel for them if they were to come, which of course this is not a gospel meeting tonight, so I'm, anyway. But publicly is out there. That would be a great plus. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody who's eloquent and is able to and is mighty in the Scriptures, preparing the Word of God. And then, what a plus if he's willing to go out. The voice to be heard out there. By the way, I believe there are men who in their own way are mighty in the public. They will share their faith in the place of work when it is convenient to do that, meaning when it is proper to do that. You're not doing it on the boss's time. But I know in our meeting there are men that share every opportunity they have. But we have this man, and he was willing to be public. May we not lose that. And he could show by the Scriptures, showing by the Scriptures, that Jesus was Christ. You know, there are people that believe different things than I believe. If they will try to show me them from the Scripture, I can have a lot more for respect for them than if they just say, well, this is my opinion, or I'm not there yet, or I don't see that in the Scriptures. If there's things we believe in the Scriptures, then I have time for that. We find this man, he was showing by the Scriptures. What a wonderful thing. It's not only in the assemblies, by the way, that men struggle with the Scriptures. I am glad for that. It is a wonderful thing. Showing by the Scriptures, that is, explaining and teaching and proving. It speaks of Paul, it says, proving that Jesus is the Christ. And here he was again, he was preaching and showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Jesus was the Messiah. It was a great biography there in that passage of this Apollos. You know, I was thinking of Paul, and really we're out of time. I think of Paul, he says some things, lest we think that, well, you know what? Every preacher has got to be very eloquent, no bad grammar, no words out of place. I think of Paul, by the way, I'm not saying that Paul was anything less. The things that I'm speaking of are not necessarily, he didn't have a lack of knowledge or a lack of grammatical capabilities, but he said this, when I came to you at Corinth, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom. I came in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. In presence, I am base among you. I'm lowly among you. His bodily presence is weak. His speech is contemptible. I don't know what kind of a speech problem he had, but he had some manner of a speech problem. I be rude in the flesh, he said. And through infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you. Whether he had a terrible headache all the time, whether it was his head, whether it was his eyes, whether it was his ears, whether it was some other main physical problem, but he still preached the word, and he used all the energy he had, but he could not be said of Paul, he was eloquent. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And so the last point I would just make is simply this, it's not all preachers are the same. I have been put to tears by men that were not eloquent, but they spoke with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I have lots of room in my heart for that. And I pray that each of us would. We'd hate to miss somebody like Paul because his preaching mannerisms weren't 100%. Can you imagine? Anyway, I pray that it would be an encouragement to your heart. I pray for the young men in the meeting here and the, you older men too. And all of the brethren and sisters, that we would be mighty in the scriptures. And when we stand to speak for the Lord, we'd be as eloquent as we can. We'd speak as well of the Lord Jesus Christ as we can. And may God bless each one. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee that Jesus is the Christ. We thank thee, Father, for those men that you have raised up in the past who have such a burden and zeal of heart, of fire in their bones that they must preach the word. And even though they might try to be quiet, they cannot, for the glory of the message of salvation that they have in him. I pray, Father, and thank you for places where not only a professional clergy, but men of God, who have studied the Word of God and became familiar with it and love it and spend their lives in it, can express with whatever eloquence they have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, protect the priesthood of believers when it comes to these matters. Father, we pray that you would still place in the hearts of men as they go about their daily tasks, that, Father, their real burden of heart might be to share Jesus Christ with others, that Jesus is the Christ. Father, do we just ask thee to be with this meeting and encourage each one that goes here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.